But today on our program, we have stories of grand gestures, and so many of them are like that. They're an end in themselves. Even when they seem like they're trying so hard to say that they're about love and devotion and some beloved person. From WBEZ Chicago. Oh, wait, I do not need to say this myself.
Can you say this for me? From WBEZ Chicago.
From WBEZ Chicago.
It's This American Life.
It's This American Life.
I'm Eric Glass.
I'm Eric Glass.
Stay with us.
Stay with us.
That was good. That was good. Okay, we'll start the show right there.
Okay.
Equine, Dr. Strangelove. Okay, this first story is about a guy who goes so far in his grand gestures that I need to say before we start, this story is not for kids. Okay? Here's Mickey Meek.
I have a pile of newspaper articles about the story I'm going to tell you. It's a love story from Florida in the 1940s. The papers went nuts for this story. It's about a man who loved a woman so much that he never got over her death. The Miami Herald at the time ran their love story across the front page. The man's name is Carl von Kossel. There's a giant photo of him where he looks charming and fragile in a white suit. Right next to that is a photo of Elena Hoyos in her wedding dress and a tiara. Her hair is in perfect black ringlets. She's beaming. Elena died young. She was just 22. After her death, von Kossel visited her grave every day and brought flowers. He built her a fancy mausoleum with a dome, surrounded by palm trees and flower pots. And then, this is the thing that made it a news story. Von Kossel stole her body from her grave, and then kept her in his house for 7 years. From the time von Kossel first met Elena, he launched into a series of grand gestures, each bigger than the previous, until he went too far. They first met at a hospital in Key West. Von Kossel was an x-ray technician, and Elena was 20 years old and sick with tuberculosis. Back in the 30s, TB killed a lot of people. There was no cure. I talked to a guy named Ben Harrison. He wrote a book about the two of them. He lives in Key West and got curious about the case when he moved there. He says von Kossel fell in love with Elena right away.
She apparently was strikingly beautiful. He took a blood sample from her finger. Normally, he would take it from a patient's ear, but hers was far too lovely to mar.
What do you want? Is that what he said?
Yes. These are in his journals that he didn't want to in any way disfigure her beauty.
This was the kind of guy von Kossel was. He wrote a memoir where he said things like he didn't want to disfigure Elena's beauty and that her voice sounded like a mockingbird song in spring. He considered himself a scientist/inventor. And claimed to have multiple university degrees in subjects like chemistry, philosophy, and physics, although Ben says he never could verify any of that. He told me von Kossel's first grand gesture is telling Elena, sure, science hasn't developed a cure for TB, but...
not to worry. He has revolutionary new cures, and he will cure her.
What were they? I mean, how was he to cure her?
Well, he at first started radiation treatments there at the hospital. Then as her illness progressed, he came by and started treating her in her home. He made this Frankensteinish electrical contraption.
What did it look like?
It looked like a big globe, and it had sparks inside, and put electrodes on her chest, and they would shock her. He claimed that this put thousands of neutrons in the air, billions of neutrons in the air, and these were going to help cure her.
Just gets weirder and weirder.
It was pure nonsense. It was just not going to work.
Did she want the treatments, though?
I mean, there was just nobody else who offered any hope whatsoever. So this was her only chance, because he was the only one offering the silver bullet.
Von Kossel was full of confidence about his own abilities. For example, he was trying to fix up a broken airplane he'd parked behind the hospital. It didn't have wings. He lived inside it. He was a German immigrant in his 50s, with a trim beard and wire-rimmed spectacles, walking around town wearing all white and carrying a cane. So far, their story has the makings of a great tragic love story. He loved her on sight. She was sick with an incurable disease that he'd do anything to cure. But there's one detail most of the newspapers left out. She never loved him. Elena was actually married to another guy, but after she got sick, he left her. so she moved back in with her family. They didn't have a lot of money. Von Kossel pursued Elena with the same arrogance and optimism he did everything else, giving her gifts, jewelry, a catalog where he told her to pick out whatever she wanted. But Elena's sister, Nana Medina, says it wasn't mutual. She gave a long interview to the Miami Herald, where she said, quote, "She never loved him. She was only nice to him because my mother told her she should be kind to those who were kind to her. She looked upon Von Kossel as a grandfather, and when he proposed marriage, she always told him, 'You are too old. Why, you are old enough to be my grandfather. What's more, I do not love you.' He became so persistent that we asked him to stay away from the house." Elena died about a year and a half after she met Von Kossel. When he heard the news, he rushed across town to be by her side. Here's how he wrote about it in his memoir.
"I went down to my knees before the bed. Elena's jaw had dropped, but her eyes were bright and clear. They had a faraway look, and as I gazed into those beloved eyes, they seemed to become deeper and deeper like wells, which, with magnetic power, drew me in. I could not tear my eyes away from her. I could look forever. My poor darling Elena."
So many of Von Kossel's choices during this period of time illustrate just how thin the line is between romantic and creepy. Gestures that seem romantic when someone loves you immediately flip to disturbing when they don't. Von Kossel paid for Elena's burial and for a headstone, which did not include her married name on it, but it did have his name, inscribed on the lower half. Again, here's Ben.
"Because, for one, her married name is Mesa, and he wasn't about to put her married name on a headstone that he'd bought."
On his daily visits to Elena's grave, Von Kossel starts worrying about rainwater seeping into her casket and convinces the family to pull it from the ground. He begins building a mausoleum.
Von Kossel talks the funeral director or the night watchman or whoever that he needs to come in and rebed her body.
What does that mean?
She's been dead for you know, long enough so that she's decomposing. And he is very upset because he claimed the mortician didn't follow his instructions as far as embalming goes. And so he puts new cloth on it and cleans up the casket. And he takes off the dress she was buried in.
Oh, man. Ugh.
Because it's rotted. And replaces it with cloth. And I think he puts some new felt underneath her. He loved her that much. And
that's one way to describe it.
Yeah. And he was becoming more and more delusional.
Elena, of course, didn't ask for any of this. She didn't love him. She is paradoxically at the center of the story and utterly left out. Still, Von Kossel kept going. He put Elena in a double casket. That's one casket inside of another. He says he wanted to protect her.
I really don't think he accepted the fact that she was dead. I think he still felt she was alive because I think he had valves on this thing.
For what?
So he could speak with her directly into the casket.
He wrote in his memoir that to him, these weren't one-way conversations. He would sit there in the mausoleum and talk to her. And she spoke back to him and sang.
"Ever since the moon began to wane, Elena had begun to sing in her casket with a very soft, clear voice, which became just a little stronger from night to night. It was always the same old Spanish song about a lover who opens the grave of his dead bride. I could distinctly hear and understand every word."
The song is a Cuban bolero called Black Wedding. Ben found out it was one of Elena's favorites after talking to her friends. Presumably, Von Kossel knew this too. I asked Ben to translate some of the lyrics for me.
"A young man's lover died before their wedding. Without her love, he simply could not reason. At night, he would visit the graveyard and dream about the days she was alive. His tears would fall upon her tombstone, the tombstone of the girl to be his bride. On a night when thunder roared and lightning flashed, he broke apart the tombstone of her grave, and with his hands he dug into the earth, and in his arms he carried her away. by a flickering funeral candlelight, on his bed that flowers covered, he gently lay the body of his sweetheart and said his wedding vows to his dead lover.
The song was written to be tongue-in-cheek, ironic and inappropriate. But von Kossel took it literally, as inspiration for everything he's about to do next.
According to von Kossel, this is her plea for him to please take her home with him, the same way the distraught lover does in the song.
Von Kossel wrote that he waited for a new moon, got a wagon, and stole the casket. He brought Elena home and tried to repair her decomposed body.
Her face was in such poor shape that he had to do something, and so he put on this gauze wax concoction and, fastened it to her, what was left of her face.
He did this to the rest of her body, too. Inserted glass eyes and painted on eyebrows. Von Kossel hadn't been deterred by what Elena wanted back when she was alive. Now that he had her dead body in his home, he could play house, dress her up, have sex with her. And he did all of those things. He wrote in his memoir that he made Elena breakfast, eggs and a cup of Lipton tea. He filled the vases next to her bed with flowers and sometimes just talked to her about the weather.
She was kind of his living doll there in their little household. And they celebrated Christmas together, and he put a Christmas tree there and put 13 candles and said he played his organ to her until the candles burned down.
This went on for 7 years. He also conducted experiments to try to bring Elena back from the dead. In his memoir, he wrote that he gave her radiation treatments and submerged her in a tank filled with, quote, plasma fluid. Eventually, Elena's sister, Nana Medina, started to suspect that something was up. There were rumors. And she asked von Kossel to open Elena's mausoleum for her. But he refused. So one day, Nana showed up at his house.
Well, she walks in and sees this effigy, this Elena, in a sort of wedding, a gauze wedding thing, lying on the bed. I mean, as she describes it, it was the most horrific thing she'd ever seen in her life. But as upset as she was, she said, if you will take the body back and put it in there, we'll just let this go.
Von Kossel didn't return the body, so she went to the Key West police. They arrived at his house in a motorcade, and von Kossel confessed immediately. And that's when the gifts started arriving at the jailhouse. People brought him fruit, cookies, and hot tea. They serenaded him at night. A group of women from Tampa brought him money. Locals posted his bond. An attorney took on his case pro bono. People were captivated by the story. A newspaper quoted von Kossel saying, "I did not want one so beautiful to go to dust." A radio station in Havana ran a soap opera about Elena and von Kossel's great romance.
He was in love with her? Okay, he was in love with her and he wanted to make her better.
This is Ida Roberts. Her mom was good friends with Elena, lived down the street from her. I talked to her for a while about this question. How could people see this as a romantic story? Well, for starters, Ida's mom didn't know at the time that von Kossel was having sex with Elena's corpse. There were rumors, but the truth didn't come out for decades, when a doctor from her autopsy wrote about it in a medical journal. But still, that doesn't change the story so much for Ida.
My mother knew Maria Elena, and because she accepted him, my mother had no problem with what he did.
I mean, was your mom upset that he had the body for so long?
No.
Really?
No. She was not upset.
But isn't there something also, later the autopsy report came out, he was having sexual relations with her, or attempting to?
Well, I guess he was in love with her, and he made love to her, and he didn't care whether she was dead or not. In fact, he never wanted to think that she was dead. He wanted to think that she was coming back. She was asleep.
I think, Ida, you are a very hard person to shock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just remember, this is a very small town and very close. Everybody was very close, and I mean, I believe that's the way laid back in Key West like we are. We just accept things.
I heard this from a lot of people I interviewed down there. Live and let live. They take pride in their history of being home to people who didn't fit in. Bootleggers, drug smugglers, people who dropped off the grid. But Ida's pretty straight. We talked in her office at a Catholic school in Key West. She's the director of religious education for kids there and looks like somebody's nice grandma.
When you look at the story now, the story of Von Kossel, I mean, do you view it as romantic or completely nuts?
I think it's a nice love story. I do. I wouldn't have any bad thing to say about him.
Wait, why is that? Explain that.
Because he was in love with her. I mean, he was eccentric, of course, you know, crazy thoughts he had. But, I mean, he wasn't there to abuse her or anything, you know. I mean,
according to the record, he was.
That way, but he didn't chop her up or throw her in the ocean or anything like a lot of people have done, you know, with their spouses. But, I mean, he took good care of her. And he just didn't want to let go.
I mean, definitely selfish, though, in a lot of ways. I mean, he's doing what he wants to do and not necessarily what the family would have wanted him to do, or even Elena.
I like that. Love is kind of selfish, isn't it? When you find somebody you want them regardless.
Love is an excuse for all sorts of behavior. I can understand why so many people wanted to believe this version of the story. It's much easier and nicer to see this as a grand gesture of a lovesick man than the abuse of a delusional pervert. In the end, the charges against Von Kossel were dropped. The court looked into whether he was insane and decided no. They called his obsession with Elena a quirk. Even when the public was presented with physical proof, Elena's body, they chose to see the story this way. After police took Elena's body from Von Kossel, the funeral home, incredibly, put her out on display, probably without the family's permission.
It was a big crowd that day, I think, and we just followed the crowd.
That's Don Carbonell. He was a kid at the time and lived across the street from the funeral home. There's actually a photo of Don in a newspaper spread, standing in a big crowd right behind Elena's body.
I might have even been playing in the yard with Frank, whose father owned the funeral home at the time. And when they opened the embalming room doors.
And how close did you get?
I was probably 6 to 10 feet away from the table that they had her laid up on.
And what do you remember? Do you remember what she looked like?
Yeah, vaguely I remember. She had glassy eyes, and she didn't look real. She didn't look real. Looked like maybe somebody made up a body. That's the way it impressed me. You'd say a big overgrown doll.
The newspaper articles quoted people who said she looked beautiful. Von Kossel did such a good job preserving her. One woman wrote a letter saying they should enclose Elena in a glass case and turn her into a Sleeping Beauty attraction, which is basically what's happened to Elena and her story today.
All right, our story takes place here in 1930 and involves this young girl right here.
This is from a trolley tour of Key West for tourists these days. All the disturbing facts of the story are now out, and our ideas about sex and men and women are dramatically different. But listen to this. They still tell this story as a romance, for the same reason people did in the 40s. They like it.
Well, I thought we'd discuss a love story, an undying love story, a story that involves grave robbing, and a corpse bride who's interested. Oh, all right, good.
And here's another.
By show of hands, how many of you believe in true love? Just trying to set up this next tale. This is a tale of true love, Key Weird style, with a twist. It starts with a gentleman by the name of Count Carl von Kossel. Entering the picture, a beautiful human girl. Her name is Elena Williams.
Mickey Meek, Payson High School class of None of Your Business, is one of the producers of our program. John Ellison Conley read the excerpts of Von Kossel's memoir. Ben Harrison's book about Von Kossel is called Undying Love.